I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the Des Bishop Podcast, and apologies for the delay in getting it up today. Yesterday, really, it should have been up. Let me explain. Today's guest is Annie Letterman, amazing U.S. comic. She was over at the Vodafone Comedy Festival in Dublin. That's how some Irish people might know her. Americans might know her from various TV shows, including Girl Code on MTV, and I had a chat with her, various different journeys we like to do in the car. So in this particular journey, I decided we would drive out to the beach in West Hampton and record on the way. What I didn't realize was the longer journey would lead to one of the great journeys as far as conversations go, because Annie had some sort of spiritual awakening while in Ireland, a self-realization that has seemed to have given her a great liberation from a lot of demons that were in her life and her past. And we discussed those demons at great length during this chat, from a difficult childhood where she was diagnosed on the spectrum of Asperger's attention deficit disorder, which she says herself may be a factor during the chat. And it was at times, trying to keep her focused, perhaps dyslexia that was undiagnosed, and very difficult teenage years with alcoholism, various types of behavioral things going on in her teenage years, and also molested by a teacher in her school, which had to bring her to court, all of which I had no idea about and discovered at various times during the chat. And it's a harrowing chat, and it's a very interesting chat. So a journey to the beach turned into a journey of discovery about Annie Letterman that I couldn't have imagined. So stick around. This is 1 hour of a 2 hour chat. Because I wanted to stick with Annie's journey of life and her journey to this moment that she had in Ireland, I have pulled out all the sort of fun, silly bits for another podcast. This 1 hour chat is the clean version. The next chat will be the uncensored, dirty version, and if you hear this one, you'll be shocked that there's a dirtier version to come. But anyway, I thank Annie for her honesty, and I think you will enjoy the chat. It's an important chat, particularly if women are listening, particularly young women. I think that you'll find a lot of inspiration from the strength and courage and kind of balls. That's probably not the right term, but balls Annie has about tackling things that she thinks were done badly to her, and also just done badly to women. A tough chat for men, I think. Because, you know, she's confrontational, and I think some guys might struggle with that stuff, but I think it's important to listen to, and I think it's important to be challenged like that. So I don't want to say too much. I've already said too much. So without further ado, please enjoy Annie Letterman. So myself and Annie are on our way out to the Hamptons.
Sup?
This is our first On the Road to the Hamptons podcast. So Annie, you've actually just been in Ireland.
I was just in Ireland. It changed my life.
Really?
It really, truly did.
How did it change your life?
Well, it just was awesome. So I went out. I was living in LA, doing comedy.
Yeah.
Passed the Comedy Store, doing like spots there, like.
On the reg.
Yeah, two, three times a week.
Okay, in the comedy, so the world famous Comedy Store.
The world famous, which they named themselves the world famous Comedy Store. Performing like 2-3 times a week, just not loving it. In a relationship I wasn't into. Go out to Ireland. I started comedy in New York. Go out to Ireland. Just like alone, just seeing the comics.
So this is literally just 8 weeks ago.
This is 8 weeks ago.
8 weeks ago, you've had a life-changing experience.
I've had the best 8 weeks of my life.
All right, so you get to Ireland.
Okay, so I get to Ireland. I go 2 days early. I rent an Airbnb, and I rent a car. And everyone's like, do not drive in Ireland. You're a shitty driver in America. Like, don't like have to put the challenge of driving on the other side of the road.
Oh, really? They're yeah, because actually it's not a big deal. Yeah.
Well, they thought I was going to like Matthew Broderick a bunch of people. But anyway, so I
didn't know that had become a verb.
Well, it just did, so. And if anyone else says it, I've actually copyrighted it. So.
Okay.
Okay, so everyone's like, don't do it. And I was like, I'll be fine. I'll pay attention. I'll be cool. Get over it. So I ended up I drove to Glendalough, which I loved. And I went to Glendalough and I was like posing in front of, you know, where they have like the selfie stand in front of the lower lake or the upper lake. I don't know.
They have a selfie stand?
They have a fucking selfie
stand.
That's
a new
thing.
Isn't
that crazy?
That's a new thing.
I mean, I hope it's new. I hope that's not from like 1100.
Yeah, selfies were huge in the 1100s. I mean, you had to stand there and draw yourself. It
but
took
it
quite
is,
a while.
It's pretty depressing that there's a selfie stand.
Well, yeah, I mean, the word selfie is really a new thing.
It's a horrible thing.
You know,
it's
mass, it became part of the mass media because of Ellen. And now we used to take pictures, now we take selfies.
You kind
of
look like Ellen. Have people said that to you before?
No.
You're like a hot male Ellen.
Definitely not in the middle of a story about Glendalough.
Okay. All right. So I'm like, I pose in front of the lake and I'm doing like the eat out symbol. You know, where you like.
Oh, that's the eat out symbol?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
You're kidding.
No, I didn't know that.
That's the eat out symbol. Yeah, you do like the peace sign and then you stick your tongue out.
You stick your tongue. Okay.
So I'm like, obviously I'm at this beautiful place. So I have to ruin it by being like.
Yeah, doing the eat out symbol.
Yeah. And right at that time, this guy with like a lazy eye and a dog walks out and makes direct eye contact. Well, with one of his eyes.
Yeah.
But he makes one eye direct eye contact with me, and it's so awkward. So then I'm like, I have to get out of this situation before I get. I pretty much was inviting him to rape and murder me.
Yes.
So, I started talking to him, and he was like a little weird, but I kept Snapchatting him and being like, "I know you're gonna murder me, sir, but I'm gonna Snapchat it. So like, we'll find you." But I kept hanging out with him. I don't know why. And he took me.
You
like,
actually hung out with the lazy eye guy.
I hung out with the lazy eye guy for like 2 hours. And I didn't want to drive in at night. I didn't want to drive when it was dark. And he was like, don't worry, you have 2 hours. So I walked with him all the way over to the church, which I wouldn't have even gone to. I would have just looked at the lake and left. And I'm really glad I went. And I was like looking at all those gravestones and seeing how fucking old. How old is Glendalough? Like 1100s?
I guess.
Yeah, it's old as shit. There's nothing old in America. America's young.
Well, there is, but it's all been
but
destroyed.
But not that old. Yeah, it sucks. But it was just like, I just felt like I did ayahuasca without doing ayahuasca. And I just like understood that people are like all these lives. People live like full lives like I'm living before me. And they're going to live them after me. And we're all like have this tiny little slice of the universe that we have to make like the best.
Yeah.
And have like the best time. And I was like so grateful that I was traveling and doing comedy and able to perform, and the shows were awesome and all the comics were awesome except Dez, and it was really fun.
And do you consider your performances to be like your church, your little monastic settlement that you will leave for people to look back on in a thousand years' time?
Be forgotten.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter. But yes, I sort of find the power in that.
Those monks left that place that you still enjoy 1,000 years later.
Yeah, so I'm leaving behind a series of dick jokes for people to remember.
But I mean,
me
I
by.
Think that's beautiful, you know. That
no, but it really was like it was absolutely mind blowing.
So at like, that festival, at the Vodafone Comedy Festival, which is the reason why I actually began doing a podcast, at that festival, you had some sort of spiritual awakening.
A spiritual awakening. I'm 33. I'm Jesus's age. I feel really good. I feel confident.
But you're Jewish, right?
No.
Oh, you're not?
I was brought up Quaker.
Oh, you brought up Quaker. I made an assumption on the Letterman, which was incorrect of me.
You thought I was a fucking Jew? I'm just kidding. Isn't it funny how people can get mad about that? It's like the one thing you're like, ew, Jew. Fuck
oh,
that.
Oh, so you're not Jewish?
No, if I was Jewish.
You haven't got a hope in comedy, kid. Forget it.
I know. I always said that. I'm like, if
hang
I was
it
Jewish,
up.
I would be so much more successful. No, I was brought up Quaker, but I grew up in a Jewish neighborhood.
I went to
a lot of bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs. I was the one chugging the Manischewitz and vomiting. But,
My short amount of time knowing you, I'm getting the impression that you had like a wild juvenile years.
Yeah.
So what was going on there?
Well, I think I just had really bad ADD, and
actually think you had it for real?
Oh yeah, I have ADD. You'll see when you have to keep reminding me what we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean I've noticed that already.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mean on mic. It's fine. It's absolutely fine.
I just feel like you should think I'm cooler than you do.
Well, Annie, of all, you can't be doing my thinking. And secondly, you shouldn't have had me have to bring you back onto the point immediately after telling me that I was going to have to do it.
So, I mean, but I think that's like being pretty like direct.
Were you diagnosed ADD?
Of course. I was very tactile defensive. And so if you like touched me, it would upset me. And
what? You mean growing up?
As a child, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, now I'm like touch, but...
I didn't know there was a term for that, tactile defensive.
Yeah, it's like, I was on the spectrum of Asperger's and autism. Oh, you were? Yeah. So I had problems with socks. Wearing socks, if I could feel, I could feel the seam and it would like destroy my day. Like I would be like horrified all day.
Because yeah, I think my nephew has a little bit of tactile defensive.
Yeah, but it's hard. Like if I hugged people, I had to hug really hard. But with my twin brother, my mom said that I was really sweet. I would always like cuddle up to him. Really? But I would never breastfeed. Like I just couldn't be, I didn't like to be held. So I was like, I came in a little bit fucked up, but I was really...
It's good that you were born later, because you can use terms like tactile defensive. I think if you were born maybe 20 years before, you would have just been like a pain in the hole.
I can't.
So it's good that there's labels for it now.
Well, my dad was really... It was overwhelming for my parents, because they had my older brother and then me and my brother. And my mom's like mother had died when she was like pregnant with that. Like, it's just a lot was going on. My dad was working a lot. But my dad has a really bad temper. And so all of that stuff didn't really fly with him. So I was like pretty severely verbally abused.
All
just
right.
Screamed at, called a cunt, called selfish, called all
these
things.
Really? Your father called you a cunt?
Yeah, a lot.
Oh, wow.
And my mom would scream at me. And it just like, you know, I just was like in pain and in trouble.
Would you say...
That like I'm a comedian because my dad called me a cunt?
Oh.
Yes.
Would you say your childhood was very stressful?
Yeah, it was horrible. I used to have panic attacks. I remember my first... The first time I had night terrors and like wasn't able to sleep was in third grade, because the teacher said we have a test tomorrow. It's really important. You have to get sleep. And I fucking almost died. Like I just was up all night panicking. And then I would always have to go in and get my dad, and he would have to come in. My dad was like, he was both ends of the coin, you know, because he was the sweetest, most wonderful person. And I'm saying was, he's still alive, but he's just a different person now. But he was so mean and so fucking mad all the time. And he really hated, he had some, I think, similar sensory issues. So he hated noise and he hated.
Oh, right. Okay.
So I'm crying all the time and upset all the time because people are touching me. And I just triggered stuff in him. And I had like problems with like, I was constipated. I mean, it was just really bad. I was just hiding all the time and getting yelled at and torn out of closets. But so that was hard. And my brothers were fine, you know, so that was weird.
But were you aware all the time of this, or like
yeah, I was being screamed at all the time. So yeah.
I know, but like I'm curious to know, how did you process it in terms of the tactile defensiveness and like how
I
you
just was very. I mean, I think the reason I'm so honest is because I had to like say how I felt all the time because it was so weird to people. You know, it was
right,
they didn't understand. I'm just realizing this now, actually. But like they didn't understand. It was not normal the way that I felt. So I would have to just be like, ow. To a hug, you know?
Yeah.
I was like sad, you know, you're just like a kid. You just need love and I couldn't really get it. So
yeah.
Not that they didn't, I mean my parents loved him, but I couldn't physically get it. So but luckily they didn't.
But you didn't want them to physically give it either because
I couldn't, yeah, it hurt. But I mean there was like young my parents would always come and apologize, you know, it was fine, but it was rough. And then growing up was rough, and then I did occupational therapy when I was like anywhere from 8 to 10. I can't really remember how old I was, but maybe even a little older than that. But they did this brush therapy thing on me where they do this to autistic kids where you go in and your homework is that my mom had to take a surgical brush and she had to scrub all my limbs, like my whole body. And it was so horrible that it would desensitize me from regular touch.
Oh, really?
And then when I would go in there, the woman would plug in this thing that was like a car buffer, it looked like. It was like a vibrating for, it sounds like I got molested, but I wasn't not molested that way. But so she would plug it in and it was like furry, and she would rub that all over my skin and it felt so horrible. But it did desensitize me and now I'm fine.
Oh, so it actually worked?
Yeah, it worked. I'm fine.
So even though it sounds like it's quite traumatic.
I mean, it sounded like I got...
It sounds like... Poked. Stanley Kubrick, Clockwork Orange type stuff.
Yeah, you know? It was torture-y, but it was good. It was good for me in the long run. And then,
In the end, so that's not like a negative experience, really, when you look back.
No, and it's really funny. It's just like funny. I want to do more research on it, and then I ended up working.
Is that still a used technique? Do you have any idea? Or
I think it is. Yeah, I talked about it on stage once, and a guy came up to me and he's like, "I work with autistic kids. That's called brush therapy."
Oh, no way.
Yeah, and I was like, fuck, was I more autistic than I thought? And he's like, maybe.
Yeah, it sounds like you were more autistic than you thought.
But I was very connected. Like, I've always been really, I can really, like, feel the way people feel. I can see, like, what people are feeling.
And you think that that awareness is,
I think, because I was so sensitive.
Yeah. Like, you think you nail it every time?
I just think I'm aware of things. I don't, I'm not like, I don't think I like know people better than they know themselves type thing, but I just, no. I don't know. I can see what's going on a little bit.
Yeah. And at what age?
No, I don't mean that in like a cocky way.
No. I think it's super interesting. So, no, but I find this really interesting because I'm kind of curious, at what stage did you become aware, you know, like at what stage when you got older, did you think, like, I'm odd, or I'm not odd? Like, what? When were you just aware that, like, fuck?
Well, I always felt different. I felt completely not. I just felt like I had to fight for myself all the time because I was so different from everyone. So I always was like, I had my own back.
And what about in school? Like, so school, at home, obviously,
okay. So school
defensive.
Was rough. School was hard. You know, I had learned disabilities.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. My twin brother and I were held back in kindergarten because of his learning disabilities, and then they realized mine. It took me a long time to read. I didn't read till second grade. And I just had a tracking problem. My eyes would dart to another row.
Yeah, so it's all kind of like focusy stuff, right?
Yeah, it's focusy.
But it wasn't
stuff.
Dyslexia, no?
No, you know, I think back on it, I'm like, it might have been dyslexia, and they just.
Because my brother was undiagnosed dyslexic till he was 28.
Yeah. It might have been, but reading was always. I don't read now, I listen to audiobooks.
Yeah, so does he, but he learned that after he was diagnosed, and he realized that's the better way for him to absorb the information.
I mean, that's hard sometimes too. I want them to have a thing where an app where it can just like say your name every 5 minutes to remind you to listen.
But when you were at school, they did not diagnose you with dyslexia.
I was diagnosed with attention deficit disorder.
Okay.
And
did they give you Ritalin?
They did give me Ritalin, which I later snorted a lot of. And Adderall only on road trips. But, I got into drugs and stuff pretty young because I knew I wasn't going to be good, and I got in so much negative. I was just treated like such a fucking problem that I just became a problem because I was like, there's no, I'll be able to be good at being bad, but I'm never going to be like good at being good, you know?
Sure.
And I felt like I was a really bad person.
But
this
it wasn't
but I felt really
not,
bad.
Is that not in hindsight thing? Like, what? did you actually make that decision? Fuck it? Was
I
it
think
like a fuck it
I
moment?
I just went to be bad. It wasn't a fuck it moment. I was screamed at all the time, and I was called a cunt, and I was called selfish and all these things, so I just believed it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's another thing I'll get to, because this, like, past 8 weeks or whatever, I'm, like, free of fucking everything. But so I always was holding this thing, like, I'm this bad person because I was told I was bad all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I was screamed at since I was a fucking baby. And, so I would fight for myself, but I always was like, deep down, my secret is that I am awful. And so even when I was like a special ed teacher and I was doing all these things, I still was like, I'm terrible. And when people would talk shit on me, even though nobody gets it right, nobody talks shit on me about real things. They get the wrong thing. And then, but it would still bother me because it felt like it was tapping into this thing where I'm like, oh, people are going to notice that, like, I don't deserve to have what I have, and I'm not good enough for it, and I'm bad. And I'm rotten. Like, I felt rotten is what I felt like. So
but,
then
but
in
I
high
school. A lot of people do have that feeling, though. That
I think
that
they do, too. And I would really like for them to not have it, because I would love people to feel the way that I feel right now. Because it's excellent.
But I think a lot of people, like, if you shared it more openly, more often, I think a lot of people would identify with
you
more than you think.
I've been talking about it, yeah. Well, I'm trying to do this thing on stage. But whatever, I'll get to that. And so I started smoking weed and cigarettes and... and then I was just not doing well in school. I couldn't handle public school. I was so used to having that environment at the Quaker school. So my parents started looking at different schools for me because I was just going in the wrong direction. So the options were a boarding school that was for kids with learning disabilities, which they didn't want to send me to. And I didn't want to be like labeled LD like that anyway, because I was smart. I just couldn't focus.
Yeah.
And which in retrospect, that's the one I should have gone to, obviously. Or
yeah,
no, I mean, everything's fine because
I
like my life now.
Yeah, they probably would have.
I mean,
yeah,
the shit that went down in high school, I mean, it's crazy. But so then there was the Krefeld School, which is the school I ended up going to, which was a school for juvenile delinquents, an alternative school where they sent kids that got kicked out of their high schools, or you could pay, or there were like a lot of autistics. It was like people on the fringe. So it was like the kids that bullied and the kids that got bullied. And I was like a little bit in the middle of both.
Yeah.
So I ended up going there. And you just don't put someone who is like on the cusp of being a juvenile delinquent with hardcore juvenile delinquents. Like, I turned so like bad. We were
sending
stealing cars.
A minor offender into Rikers, and then they come out a major criminal.
I mean, it was like, I'm surprised I don't have a fucking teardrop tattoo. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, we were just stealing cars. We were
snorting
pills. We were drinking. We were like in school. We were on acid. We were, and then shit went down in my high school. I got, like, I had a teacher do some fucked up shit to me. I had to go to court.
Really?
Yeah, I had to go to court.
Jesus, you're just like a tornado of drama.
But I don't want it. I like to be chill.
So when did your life become less chaotic?
8 weeks ago in Ireland.
Oh, come on. It can't be.
I quit drinking when I was 25.
Oh, 25.
I quit drinking after my first open mic. And I just went hard on comedy, and now my life is amazing.
Yeah, so the quit drinking was just, you were just sick of the madness?
No, I was waking up bleeding and checking for my teeth all the time. It was a nightmare. I was drinking so hard. I was drinking all day long. I had I got a gum infection that, like, you don't get unless you were, like, you're homeless at war or under so much stress that your body's, like, rejecting your teeth. Like, it was, like, really bad. I just drank all the time. And it was because I fucking hated myself. It's because I thought I was bad and rotten. So I wanted to, like, black out and not be myself and not be with myself. And
is that just like, I mean, that's a pretty throwaway thing to say, but.
What do you mean?
Well, no, I just mean, like, it's because I hated myself. Like, that's it?
I mean, I really did not love myself at all. Really did not respect myself. And I put myself into a lot of, like, gross situations. And drinking, blacking out as a woman is just really, you just get raped. I mean, you just get raped. You can't trust guys to not hook up with you when you're in a blackout. You can't. You can't trust your Uber drivers. Like, it's dangerous.
I know, but then you're getting into that murky water of blaming the...
If I can't walk... You can't fuck me. How about that? That's a pretty good one, right? Like, if I'm falling over, and then you can't have sex with me. I had my friend fucked me when I was, like, I'm falling down the stairs. My roommate came out, saw him, like, picking me up off the ground and putting me on the couch. Like, yeah, that's rape, dude. You fucking asshole.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
If I can't enjoy it, don't fuck me. Like, why would you want to fuck me if I can't enjoy it? That's weird. That's pretty selfish.
Yeah, I mean, but at the same time... Just a minute ago, it seemed to be suggesting, like, oh yeah, you shouldn't have put yourself in those situations, but you weren't exonerating.
But I don't think that. I think that's because that's the where the world is, and that sucks. Like, I think that people need to raise their sons better.
Yes.
And not worry about their daughters so much, because it's why do we have to make ourselves small so you guys don't rape us? We should be able to be as big and whatever we want to be as we want to be.
Yeah, like you should.
You know what I mean?
You should be able to make mistakes like teenagers make in drinking right. too much or whatever, and not have to worry about being raped.
Right. But in reality, you can't trust people. And I mean, I try to trust everyone, but there's something. It's that whole, did you guys have the book The Game over there? Did you guys read it?
People know about The Game.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So look at that. Okay. That situation is like, so you're supposed to like neg a girl. I've been talking about this a little bit on stage.
Yeah, well, but like, yeah, negging. You
know, negging, okay,
making
so...
Making a girl feel insecure.
Yeah, you make her feel bad and insecure so that she is tricked into wanting to fuck you. Like, how about this? How about be a guy girls want to fuck? How about if that girl doesn't want to fuck you, go find someone that does? Like, be better. Like, why are you tricking... Why do you want to trick someone that doesn't want it into getting... Like, why do you want to take it that way? That's such, like... That's so crazy to me. And I'm not saying
that's
rape,
just
but
the,
it's like...
That's just
but
that
game, that cat
that
and mouse
book.
Game...
That is just that book. Not
it's
all
the time, dude. I
yeah,
fucking
that,
get
not
that
all guys are like that.
I mean, I notice myself doing it too. I mean, I'm like, I like to tease people.
No, but there's a difference between flirtation.
Like, Des, you look like shit.
Yeah, I know. Whatever, man. But I mean, like, there's a difference between flirtation and negging. Like.
Yeah, it's just like, it just seems like, why are you trying to trick people?
No, I know, but I'm just curious because I definitely hear it spoken about so much more here about girls being too drunk to give consent. You know, I think somewhat to a degree also that there's just more openness about sex here. So perhaps sometimes maybe, I don't know, that people don't realize the gravity of the situation sometimes in the United States? Maybe that's just naive of me.
They don't really. I think people realize the gravity. I don't know. Are you? Oh, what you think when guys have sex with drunk girls?
I'm just curious because I hear so much more about it here. You know, because basically the majority of my adolescence, despite my accent, was spent in Ireland, where
slang chicks.
No, it was different. Honestly, there's just a more casual. The truth is, in the United States, in my experience, there is a more casual attitude to sex, which I largely like because it's less shame.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, you do get these scenarios where drunken teenagers are just banging each other, and like you're talking about.
I just can't even imagine not, like, I don't know how I would have not had sex at 14. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just, everyone was banging. Like, I felt like a prude compared to everyone else, you know?
Yeah.
And I had this boyfriend I thought was like so hot. It's so hilarious. I'll show you a picture of him. But, and he treated me like shit, and I was just like, couldn't get enough of it. I was so obsessed with him. And he banged me on his waterbed.
Oh, that's the guy?
And then he fucked my best friend, too.
Oh.
I know. But, whatever. She's a bitch. We were all banging. It was like we were all banging. But then once I lost my virginity, I felt like all this pressure to keep banging when I was like, I'm actually like not ready.
Yeah, so when you look back now, do you wish that you had been, not had more restraint, but do you wish that you had sort of listened to
I wish to I had self, like, respect, self, you know, where yeah. I was like, you can say, because I still struggle with that, like, a lot of times where, like, I put someone else's feelings over my own feelings all the time, especially, like, I'm, like, I want to please people, and I want, like, and with men, it's like this thing where I'm like, oh, like, you know, like, if I say I'm going to hook up with someone and then I, like, meet up with them and I'm like, I'm not into this. Like, I'll still do something, you know, which is shitty. Like, who gives a fuck? I don't know. I think blue balls, like, that whole thing really, they got me with blue balls young.
Well, what do you mean they got you
like,
with blue
balls? Like, you know,
balls?
I would, like, hook up with a guy and he'd be like, what, are you going to leave me hanging in blue balls? And I was, like, so young that I was like, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know? Yeah, and then I still kind of have blue balls in my head, even though now I'm like, I don't give a fuck if blue balls are real, like, jerk off in the bathroom. But I still kind of have a little bit of a time, like, a moment where I'm like, and it's something, like, I'll never do again, but, you know, where I'm like, I either know I'm not into this person, this isn't going to be good for me, like, I'm going to give them this, which is, like, crazy because...
Yeah, you feel like an obligation.
But now I'm at the place where I'm like, I mean, I just want what I want. I want, like, I'm going into situations for myself. Do you know what I mean? I mean, not just sexual, but, like, all of them. So, and not in a selfish way. Like, I care about other people. But I'm not, like, going to, like, let myself take, like, a backseat to my own life. I don't know why I was doing that.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was, like, all that shit, that shame from when I was little. But
that's interesting about the blue balls thing, because it is weird physiologically for men. There is that moment where it just becomes a bit sort of, like, it's a physiological...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thing, I guess suddenly it's just like no, it fucking has to happen.
Yeah.
It's not like guys are assholes, but there is a feeling.
I mean,
that
I just
you get, but
think
I do think I really do think that a positive bit of education would just be like, look, if she's not into it, and you feel you leave it hanging, just literally go to another room
and jerk off.
Just I really
jerk off
feel
in the bathroom.
I really, you know, but here's the thing, and I mean, I don't want to say too much about myself and incriminate myself, but. So often, I could have saved myself so much hassle by jerking off.
Yeah.
Like, because even though sometimes I say to myself, just go
Do you
jerk.
Have jerk-off shame because of Catholicism?
No, it's not jerk-off shame. I'm just saying, sometimes I know, I even say to myself before, you know, whatever scenario I'm in, I say, yo, you could just go jerk off and then your whole mentality would change. And you would just no longer be in this situation where it all has to go down now. But I...
Wait, you know, do you
but,
mean
yeah,
sexually?
Yeah, but here's the lie. Yeah, obviously. But here's the... But the lie is that your mind doesn't want to let go of that whatever, that desire, whatever situation.
Well, yeah, it's better to bang people.
Yeah, but then, of course, boom. But then, of course, boom, if you get... You know, so what I'm saying is men should be taught that in that situation, like blue balls, I mean, whether blue balls is actually a thing, but in that situation where a guy just suddenly feels like either entitled or hard done by...
It's entitlement that, is the word.
Yeah, yeah. If they feel entitled or hard done by, they can literally change the scenario by... Just
go jerk off.
Yeah.
It's just
crazy. And the truth is, like, sexually, if you've been messing around and you really want something to happen, and then the girl decides, like, they're not into it, and it's a no means no situation, the amount of stuff you've already been doing will mean that you'll probably be pretty good when you go and do it on your own.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah. You're ready to go.
Quite satisfying. But, of course, no one's going to teach boys that. But I really do feel that. Guys would get themselves out of a lot of trouble by just jerking off. Because whatever it is, whatever happens to us physiologically, it's pretty intense at that moment. And by the way, when I say that, I'm not saying that, like, I would have saved myself from raping people. I just mean, like, the things...
I don't think anyone thinks you're a rapist.
No, I know, but what I mean is the things that
you
do
like a pretty
when
good
that
guy.
Desire is high. It is amazing how everything changes the minute you...
Yeah, it's just so
blow
different.
Your load.
It's so different for girls. It's just a different...
Yes. Well, I talked to a transgender comedian, and she said, she's transitioning now, she said it was amazing from the hormones, just the difference in terms of that blue balls thing disappears. I mean, she didn't say blue balls, but just the fucking imminence of it all. The need for it to happen now is gone for her.
Yeah.
And that's weird to think that you guys...
Well, we get that. I get that every once in a while. There's, like, times where I'm like, I will die if I don't have an orgasm. Like, I'll fucking die. But then it can pass. Like, something can happen. And then I'm like, oh, never mind. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't like this person.
But I just feel like
go
it's...
Away.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not like that. Like, you guys are just like...
Yeah, but you don't get angry,
you have to, like,
right?
Really,
like, a guy will get angry. Like, I
have... No, you guys are like... You guys
I have gotten angry, though. I have.
At girls?
Yeah, just in the scenario, you know, where, you know, whatever happened. Like,
do they make
angry.
Them horny when you got angry?
Depends on the...
I'm like, angry Dez, wow.
It's not as uncommon as you think, angry Dez. But anyway, I don't think you get that. If you're dying to have an orgasm and it doesn't happen, I don't think you get like...
No, you're not.
Where the fuck do you think you're
it's
going?
It's just annoying.
How
but
the fuck are you
I
fuck?
Also, like, masturbate a lot, so... I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about this on here.
You
what
can talk
Ireland
about it.
Like?
I mean, I had a routine before in Ireland about masturbation because I definitely think, I mean, I hate making these generalizations, but in my experience, Irish girls are less likely to admit that they masturbate than American women.
People are weird about female masturbation,
yeah,
though.
Really,
I don't
they
know.
Really
I think
are.
They think it's like too sexual or something. It's too hot or something. It's like not hot. The way I do it's not hot. No, like, it's good. I think everyone should masturbate, but it's like...
Women should definitely masturbate. That is
no,
my,
but it's a separate
my,
thing.
My
like
my male message is like just jerk off. You're in a jam with the blue balls. My female message is you gotta
masturbate.
It's actually
great.
More important for women to masturbate because why? They need to know what they're into. Because women
right.
are very, women have very complicated the way they're wired
it
sexually.
It is very complicated.
Men aren't.
Most of them just want to be choked a little.
Okay, I mean I know that you're joking, but.
I was being dead serious. This is the most serious I've ever been.
There's
no, they
one,
do.
If there's one thing I've learned about women, it is that you cannot make sweeping generalizations on what women are into.
That's true. Yeah, everyone's different.
You know,
but I also am different with every, like, every guy I sleep with is different. I just feel really like, I mean, I've only slept with one person since I broke up with my boyfriend, but it was like so, I'm so, like, open and feel so good now that it's like...
You had a different experience?
Yeah, it just felt like good to be, because I can like connect with people more. It doesn't have to be as like crazy. But so anyway, so okay.
No, but that's good. I mean, I did want to actually talk to you a lot about that stuff because one of the things that I remember from your time in Dublin is that you're very open talking about sex and open about sexual stuff. And it's not that common in Ireland, particularly like in comedy.
Yeah.
There's less talk about sex, and it's still sort
like
of...
Yeah, I talk about it... My set's all new now since I came back to New York.
All right, well, do you feel, though, that sometimes there's a certain type of man that doesn't react very well to a powerful woman being on stage?
Yeah,
know,
that happens a lot.
Having strong opinions?
Well, what happens to me a lot... I always call this out. There's always, like, one older guy in the front that's, like, not laughing at all. And his wife is a little bit laughing, but he's not. And I always go, how old is your daughter? And she's always like in her 20s or 30s. So really? It's like he's relating me to his daughter. And then he's getting upset when I talk about this stuff. And I'm like, listen, I'll just tell honest stories. And I, you know, and it's like, there has to be another side. Guys can't be the only ones talking about sex. Like you have to have like the other side of the story.
No, 100%. You know what I mean? But also, like, you have to say to yourself, why do you feel bad about this? Why does the dad... Now, I know this is almost like a hypothetical person we're talking about here, but right. Why does the dad listen to that and think about his daughter and think this is horrible? That's the real...
It's just a weird protection that men have over their daughters. But
yeah,
it's
but
like...
There's still a weird shame about sex.
There is a weird shame about sex. But it's like we were all jizz. Like, we literally were all jizz. It's like, who cares?
Yeah. So, just a bit of admin... I had to stop for gas, so we had to take a break. And upon coming back, I was trying to get back into the thing about dads that we had just been discussing, but I'm not exactly sure what happened. But needless to say, we ended up talking about trolls and the way men can be abusive online. So we come back in somewhere in relation to chatting about that. As I said earlier, with the... Annie likes to sort of bounce around, so, you know, sometimes it can be hard to sort of keep it all together and follow her. You know, she says it herself. She has three stories going in her mind at the one time, so forgive me if it's bouncing all over the place, but we're coming back in, and we're sort of midpoint.
Guys will write shit. Like, I posted a picture of my dad once, and this guy, and he was holding Oreos. My dad's fat. He was holding double-stuffed Oreos. I go, my dad in his happy place, and some guy's like, yeah, it's so funny, double stuff, just like his fucking daughter or something like that. And I was like, I go to his page and it's all him and pictures of his daughters, his young daughters. So I go, how are you gonna feel in 20 years when your daughter posts a picture of you innocently and then some guy calls her a whore? And he goes, well, it depends on which daughter. And I go, Madeline. And then he blocked me. and then another guy, I like posted a picture, it was like me and my niece or something, you know, and he writes, he goes, the only thing missing is you sucking my dick or something. So I go to his page and it's like, my life is my wife, I love her. It's like him on picnics with his wife. So I tagged her ass right under it. He blocked me. I'm like, you fucking assholes. Like, you just be like you don't, ugh.
But
do
I
mean,
that is super frustrating. I mean, like.
It's the dual lives that pisses me off.
Yeah, but
you
the dual lives thing is very, but I mean, I think that's, those are just great examples of bad male behavior.
But it's bad male behavior, and then it's like, so then it's like,
but I do
ownership
think,
shit.
I mean, I did want to ask you about that too, because I do think that.
But guys,
women receive much more of that type of abuse online.
Yeah, it's just so. I only really like take it on if it's a there's a larger message that can be taught, you know, because I have a lot of young girl followers from Girl Code. So I just want to like let them know that like they are okay. Like you like being yourself is like fucking beautiful and great, and like don't fucking listen to this shit, because these guys are sad as fuck. It's like they fucking hate their lives, they hate their wives, they can't take it out on them, they're being fucking fake, and then they have these like moments where they think they can just like throw something out at you, and they can't. They suck.
Yeah. I mean, I am so curious to know where it's coming from. I mean, we're all fucked up in our own ways, but I'd love to know where this sort of women hate thing comes from. Well, like, I notice it with, like, feminist arguments and stuff like that. Whether you agree or disagree, it's kind of irrelevant. It makes a certain type of guy very angry.
Yeah.
And the anger is not... To me, it's an irrational anger. It's not coming from a place of disagreeing on a side of the debate.
It's just wanting... Well, women are fucking awesome, right? So I didn't realize until I hit 30 and I had nieces and, you know, and now I, like, live for my fucking niece. But I just... You know, I always had guy friends. My mom... So I had two brothers, my dad, and then my mom is, like, super masculine. She was adopted into a family in upstate New York, and she wanted to be a boy. Like, that was her way of getting attention, you know, from her, like, the abandonment issues you just get when it just comes with being adopted. But so she would tell these stories about how she would show up to the baseball, you know, try to play baseball, put her hair in a hat, and they'd be like, get out, scram, girl, which I think is just like a scene from A League of Their Own that she just assumed is her own. But so she would always say stuff like that. So then, and she was so rejecting, like, I would get Barbies, and she'd go, I don't get it. And so then I would, like, make them fucking fight and, like, do masculine things to, like, impress her.
Yeah.
And then I joined the boys' baseball team. She was the coach. She traded me to another team. What a cunt. But it was like, you know, I was doing all this stuff. I just was like, I was taught that being masculine, being feminine was weak and being masculine was great, you know? So I really hid my femininity. And I was like, I was pretty much raised to be like a woman hater in a weird way.
You?
Yeah. So, and I only had guy friends. I would always have like one girlfriend here and there. And then they'd like fuck my boyfriend or something, and then
I
hate them.
So were you one of these girls that was like, I don't know, I just not comfortable with women. I prefer having guy friends.
Yeah, I felt that way, and which is so unbelievable now. I mean, I just couldn't feel. I mean, obviously I have guy friends. I love hanging out with men, but it's just so different. It's such a gift to hang out with women. And when I turned 30, I just was like, oh, because I was always like, I'm not a feminist. And then I turned 30, I was like, oh, now I get it. And I also thought I was ugly. So I didn't understand it. And I like look at pictures and I was like, oh, I was just like a beautiful little girl. But
I think a lot of people have that experience where they look back in a picture and they're like, wow, why the fuck did I not realize I was so hot?
Right. Well, now I feel hot now, but this is the first 8 weeks. Ireland.
So really, this is literally I'm getting you now at this sort of.
You're getting me at my peak that you think I'm going to crumble from. You are. But no, so this is what happened. So I had this thing happen with my teacher in high school and I had to take him to court. And, you know, like when I went to my one teacher and told him what happened, he goes like, I'm torn, you know.
So what happened? I mean, it's tough if you talk
I was sexually assaulted by one of my teachers.
Oh, you were?
By one of my art teachers, yeah. So, and I, like, that's another, like, when I was saying before, like, about, like, Quaker school and stuff, it's like, I just fucking fought. Like, I couldn't believe, like, I'm always surprised when people do things to me because I'm like, I will go to the police. Like, I will fucking, I'm not going to let someone hurt other people. Like, I refuse to have that happen. Like, if I got to take the hit, I'll take the hit. But so.
So you immediately went to the police?
No. It was 2 weeks later. I mean, I was in shock and stuff and, like, didn't believe that it happened. But so I went to one of my teachers and he was like the other art teacher who was like kind of father figure-y. And I told him what happened. And he said, well, I'm torn because half of me, like, I do feel like a father to you. I want to kill this guy. And the other half wasn't there. So I don't know what happened. And I was like, but I just told you what happened. I've never been a liar. I've always been like brutally honest, gotten in trouble for being so honest. Always.
But I think that's a common experience, right? People feel like they're not being trusted when they say this happened.
Right. Well, it was just so weird. It was so crazy. Yeah. I was just like, well, but why would I ever lie? Like, and I don't gain anything from this. This is just like horrible and humiliating. And so whatever, ended up going to court. I ended up settling just cause I was fucking wanted to like live my life. And you like having to hear watch my dad hear the story over and over again. And they were gonna drag me, man, through it. So I just settled. He got 3 years probation and didn't teach anymore, but I think he's actually doing great. He's like a successful artist in Philadelphia. So, fuck him. But so I go back to the school the next year. I graduate from high school at 16. I go back to the school for the graduation ceremony. That's very intimate and small because I always had this thing in me that wanted approval from my school and my teachers, even though they fucking let me down. Like nobody had my back during that. Like I'm telling you, when that court case was going on, I didn't tell any of the students. Somehow the students found out. I was getting like loogies hocked on my door handle. People were
really?
Calling me a stupid bitch, a liar, like all this stuff. He was like a really popular teacher. But I found girls, man. I went around. I found girls he had had affairs with. He had fucked. He had, like, you know, it was just like.
So you were getting abused by everybody at the school.
Yeah, I was just getting shit. The teachers did not have my back. But I always wanted their approval. Like, they handled it poorly. The way they told him about it, I was like, by the time, like, I told them about it before the cops were involved, I had all these messages on my answering machine from his wife being like, you fucking lying whore. Like, by the time I got home.
Really?
I just had to tell my parents in the car, which was, like, really hard and embarrassing. And it was like, they just fucked me over so bad. They put me in so much danger. And it's their fucking fault. Don't fucking hire a fucking sick person like that. And they just didn't have my back. And I get why they didn't. Because if they did, they had to accept responsibility for the fact
so
that they put me in danger.
Yeah, so you could have taken a major lawsuit.
So, and I could have done a lawsuit. But kind of this whole theme in my life was like me. Well, whatever. Okay,
Did you feel responsible somehow?
Yeah, I felt horrible.
Did that sink into you?
Yeah, no, I felt horrible. I felt like, because I was still going off this rotten thing. Like, this is my fault. I shouldn't have done this. And up until very recently, when I would look back on all these stories, I had my adult brain and I would put my adult brain into myself in those stories. And I would be like, why would I do that? Why would I be there? Why would I put myself in this situation? Why did I choose to stay? Like, you know what I mean? But then I realized, like, I was a fucking kid. I was just a kid and I just needed help. And I was a kid, and that's the whole theme of my childhood, was I was a kid that was like,
did you try to say to yourself, I could have left?
Yeah, the whole thing. I'm like, I should have gotten up, I should have done something, or like I should have left, but I was just like in shock, you know? And he was my teacher. And but I just felt very like I just couldn't really like forgive myself for that, and I always thought I was rotten. So I just was like, whatever, I'm bad and I deserve these things, and I put them on myself. But now what I realize is that I was a kid and the adults in my life let me down. I jumped on the grenade because that felt easier for me to blame myself than it did to like admit that the world is unsafe and that the people that were put in place to take care of me didn't do their job. So anyway, so I but I got to that because, okay, so the year, so then a year after I graduate, I still felt this need to get approval from these teachers. So I went back to the graduation just to be nice, like to say hi, and I just wanted them to be like proud of me or something, I don't know. And I went in, and that teacher that I went to originally that said he was torn, he was in there with the graduates, and I like popped my head in, and I was like, hey man. And he went, get out, this is for current graduates, and yelled at me.
Oh, no way.
And I was like so wounded. And the janitor came up to me, this guy Frank, and he was like, hey, I just want you to know, like, he stopped me, he's like, I just saw that, and that's unbelievable that he just did that. And he goes, also, I was here through the whole thing that happened with you, and they let you down. He's like, this school fucked you over, and I just want you to know, I saw it, and none of this was your fault. And so I just remembered that recently, that interaction, and I just am now like able to see it through his eyes, where I'm like, oh, totally. And it's not in a way where I'm like blaming other people, but it's like I can forgive people, but it's like the fact that I like put that all on myself was so crazy. And then so I was talking to my mom. I came back from Ireland, dumped my boyfriend, called, I was on FaceTime with my mom, like crying on the street, because I just like had just broken up with him. And I was telling her that feeling, you know, like I was saying, I saw Frank, you know, like when Frank said this thing to me, and I'm like now starting to be able to see that whole situation through his eyes.
And Frank was the janitor.
Was the janitor. And she goes, yeah, well, I just try to forgive my part in any of that. And I went, yeah, but can you apologize? And she was like, yeah, you know, I'm sorry. And I was like, no, but could you like apologize to me right now? And she went, okay. And she like took a breath and she went, I'm really sorry that when you were a little kid and everything was so hard for you, that I chose myself over you and I made you wrong and you bad, rather than like accepting my responsibility and learning how to make your life happy. She's like, you were just a sweet little girl and I just didn't let you be that. And I'm sorry I let your dad treat you that way, and he'll never forgive himself for talking to you the way he talked to you. And I like am fucking free now. Like she said that, and it's, I thank her every day for it. I feel so like lucky, people don't get that in their life. And it was like really nice, and I just feel it now, that I was just like a nice kid that just had problems and needed help. And she started calling me sweet like 6 months ago. She'd go, my sweet girl. And it was like always like, why don't you call me sweet? I'm not sweet. And she's like, you're so sweet. And I am, like, I just didn't realize it. I just didn't let myself realize it. So that was like huge. And yeah, I just feel really good. I feel beautiful. I feel good. I feel funny. I feel confident. I feel smart.
That's a big deal, because that's like the shame that people carry around.
Yeah. I don't feel bad. I feel good. I know I'm good inside now. So it's like all that stuff that was bothering me, and it hits everything. And that's why, like, I know we were talking on, we broke for a second. We were talking about how, like, you're worried that I'll crash from this. But I don't think it's that type of thing. Like, I'm not going to obviously be this happy and like heightened feeling, but I just feel really, I feel really strong. I fucking battled through a lot of shit, and knowing that like I'm good, like having that released, I don't know, I feel really good, and I feel like I understand other people.
It's a big realization to come to, that you're a good person.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people live the majority of their life feeling fundamentally there's something wrong with them.
Yeah, that you were born rotten, and that's like not true. Everyone was born perfect.
So how do you think you can maintain it? Because when I was talking about the crash, when we were just in the gas station there, I wasn't actually talking about, well, first of all, I didn't know that you had come to this moment of like major amends with your mom. Your mom saying sorry to you. I didn't know you'd come to the realization that you're not a bad person, because I know that that's like a powerful experience. Mm-hmm. But I meant it more in the sense of, you know, sometimes I get worried when people think they have it figured out. Like, because you'll never figure it out, right? Like life just keeps changing.
Right.
But what my question is, So how do you think after these realizations and this massive relief of knowing that you're not a bad person, like what's your plan to maintain it in that, like, sometimes these awakenings can fade.
Right.
And so
I always, like, I kind of have a mantra. It was this meditation I did a while ago that I didn't understand. Like, I liked it, but I didn't get it until later. And I haven't done the meditation because I've been feeling so good that I haven't meditated. It's a mountain meditation. So it's like you imagine you're a mountain, and then you're like, you imagine like all specific. So you just really feel like you're a mountain, like your shoulders are part of the mountain, your fucking head's part of the mountain. You're sitting there and, like they have it, it's a guided meditation. It's like, so it starts raining, starts snowing, sun comes out, dries it, then it gets cold again, then it gets light out, like then the stars are out, all this stuff. And so now I'm always like, I'm a mountain, I'm a mountain, I'm a mountain, because it's like, it doesn't matter what happens, because all this shit's gonna happen, right? Like our parents die, our animals die, like people get cancer, you know, your job, you lose your job, like, you know, people cheat on you, you get divorced, you know, like things like happen and we have no control over it, but I can be a mountain. I'm a fucking mountain. And it's like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Plus it's nice to be liberated from the things that were holding you back.
Yeah. And I feel liberated. You don't like my mountain thing?
No, I like your mountain thing.
I'm a fucking mountain. I don't care if you like it because I'm a mountain.
Do you know what I mean?
But do you know what I mean? Like, it's just weird. It's like, I've never been able to, because I just realized how much of my time was like, you know, I was doing comedy and I just like needed the audience to tell me I was good. Like, I was like, please tell me I'm good. Like,
look,
please.
Man, you fit the bill for wanting to be a comedian.
Yeah.
Like, so do I. Yeah. I get that.
But I feel really like my sets are so good now, though.
I don't think it's a spiritually healthy job.
No, and it's weird. But I always thought I had to be all fucked up to be good at it. But my stand-up's so much better now.
Mm.
It's so crazy because I'm connecting with people on a different level. And I feel like, did you see Donnie Darko?
No. The movie? I did, but I can't remember.
Do you remember how he had like a... this thing coming out of this portal thing coming out of his chest?
I can't remember it.
I just feel like I have that to everyone. Like, I feel really
feel like
connected
you're
with people.
Care Bear?
Not like a Care Bear. maybe like a Care Bear. I just feel
so
like
last
I don't know.
Question before, because I have to get a coffee from this coffee shop, but I want to ask you one question.
There's no coffee shop
before we break from this particular part of our chat. Did you see Good Will Hunting?
Yeah.
Now, before you had this realization that you're a good person, how did you react to the
I went to the rape
groundbreaking scene?
It's not your fault. Well, I went to a rape crisis center when I was in high school, and I was reading Lolita, by the way. What a piece of shit. I was reading Lolita in the fucking waiting room
after
of a rape crisis.
Raped,
yeah, after being molested
after
by my
being
fucking
molested
teacher,
by
or whatever,
teacher.
Or assaulted. He didn't rape me, but he assaulted me. But, I went in and they tried that shit, but it was like, okay, thank you.
Oh, they tried it with
yeah,
you?
Yeah, and I was like, mm-hmm.
At the time, you weren't ready.
But you think, when you are, your truth about yourself is so real, because you're the only one you can go by. Like, you can take stuff from how people treat you, but like, it's your brain that's telling you who you are.
Yeah, your mother, your father, your friend
right,
can
it's
say,
them
but
saying,
no, you're beautiful. But
right,
like,
and you're like.
It's not going to change the way you feel
about
yourself.
It's not, because it gets in there when you're so young. And so, like, my truth was that I sucked and it was my fault. So people could say that. I'm like, all right, well, you don't know me. I'm way worse than you think I am. You know, and it was like a lot of stuff where, you know, there were a million times I could have left. It was just like a really weird situation that I'll tell you more about off of the thing. But it's like, yeah, I just couldn't hear it. I couldn't hear it. And there's so many things I heard that now I can hear. Like, I think back on like that mountain meditation where I'm like, yeah, I'm a fucking mountain. And like, it just doesn't matter. It's like, to be able to be like this open and honest, and like, if I just continue to be honest and open, which is what I was, I just wasn't open. I was honest, but I know I'm good. I know my part is good. So I don't have control over what other people can do. So I can just keep being good and kind and whatever,
and
busting balls and stuff too. But
yeah, but that's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's good to have fun.
Yeah.
You don't, do you buy, I know that you're not like a 12-step person, but do you buy into that thing of, that maybe part of the way that you can maintain these feelings is by helping others to achieve the same feeling?
Sure. Or I think you should always be trying to help people. But I just, now that I feel like so light, when I see people that are like suffering and struggling, like I want them to be feel like a mountain too. You know, like I talk to people a lot about it. It's only been 8 weeks, but
I think you should write the new 1-hour show called I Am a Mountain.
Yeah.
Of course. That should be the show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually being serious.
Yeah. I know.
I named the podcast. I'm naming this one I Am a Mountain.
Yeah.
Like every episode.
I'm a motherfucking mountain.
Yeah. I'm not going to say motherfucking.
But that's what I am.
So thanks very much to Annie for her honesty and super interesting chat. Definitely different to chats we've had before. There will be a part two to that chat, which will be nothing like that one, where we just mess around. And it's very dirty. I have to warn you in advance. So even though that's a judgment in itself, which is pretty ridiculous. So tune in next Monday when we'll have Maeve Higgins here in New York. She's living in New York now. And obviously, if you like our chat, please give us the old 5-star review on iTunes. Spread the word, subscribe, tweet me at Des Bishop, Instagram me Des Bishop, Snapchat me Des Buffer, and keep it all rolling along. It's been going great, and thanks for all the feedback. And any suggestions, any guests you might want, send me a message on any one of those mediums, and I'll see what I can do. Nothing left to say other than in the next couple of weeks I'll start to announce some Irish tour dates, both before Christmas with Grey Matters and after Christmas with my new show One Day You'll Understand. For any New Yorkers listening, I'll be in Caroline's on November 3rd, and for any Boston people, I'm in the Wilbur on October 14th. So I'm heading up to Boston in a couple of days to do some press for that. So any Boston people out there, do spread the word that I'm heading to Boston soon. And that is it, really. I look forward to seeing you the next time. And until then, good day.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.